I've been really looking forward to this series, even though it is just 2 weeks, and I love this time of year, and it's an opportunity, you know, here at Thanksgiving for us just to take a time just to not only thank God, because I think we ought to do that all throughout the calendar year, but just to really, reflect on a lot of things. And so we're just so thankful for what God is doing in your life, what God is doing in our church, and just different things that are happening, the growth and just the health, and just we just praise God for what he's doing. And so make sure you're taking time to reflect, because we are a blessed people. Amen, everybody. All right, it's okay to talk to me, all right? And so we're a blessed people. We're blessed to have clothes on our back, food in our belly. Come on, a home to go to today, a vehicle to get there. And if you've ever had the experience, and if you haven't, I pray you do, and to go overseas and experience just how blessed we really are. And so I'm just so thankful for all that God is doing. And by the way, where's Heather Reynolds at? Heather, good to have you back from Israel. She's here all the way back from Israel. So I just want to give you a shout out today. I do. And we love her. And so, but this series, generosity, is something that I believe that our church continues to build with. And it's a core value of who we are as a church. And I want to open up in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering, not knowing that the goodness," come on, everybody shout "the goodness of God leads you to repentance." I love that, because that's what generosity really is. It's kindness. It's generous. It's really going above and beyond. And I love the fact that it's the goodness and it's the kindness of God that leads people to repentance. Think about that. Not shouting at them, come on somebody, all right, but loving them and giving them kindness and being a generous people. That's what's going to impact the hearts of people. And when they watch you walk your walk and be who you say you are, come on, no matter where you're at. And so I think, though, that we need to understand the importance of the moment and the day that we live in, because God has a lot that he wants to accomplish even right here today, that you take every day as an opportunity for God to do something new in your life. And so I think we have to shift our focus to understand how your today and how you live today really does impact your tomorrow. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful," come on, everybody say cheerful. Cheerful giver. I love that word cheerful in the Greek. It's the word hilaros, which literally means those who enjoy it. Those who enjoy giving, those who enjoy being a generous person. And actually, when you read in your Bibles in 2 Corinthians 8, chapters 8 and 9, you'll see the call to the local church is to be a generous church. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about that, just even as a church, and because as it is a value, we are constantly focused on growing in that together. But I think sometimes we just get focused on the wrong day, and we tend not to enjoy the day that we have. And it's something I'm constantly really trying to continue to grow my relationship with God, to really seize every day as an opportunity really for God to do something in my life and to use me in some kind of way. And so I think we've got to get beyond our yesterdays, and we have to stop trying to relive what happened yesterday and take today as the moment that God wants to do something, because tomorrow's just not going to magically get better. The best time to start is now. The best time to start to make some decisions in your life is right here today. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says this, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." I believe this, that you will never change your life until you change something daily. You've got to find some of your routines that you may be in, and maybe there needs to come some change. And I encourage you, let's close out 2015 strong. Like, let's not just wait for January 1st to tick on the clock, but let's close out 2015. And I even believe right here today that some of us are going to embrace some things in our life, maybe for the very first time, and make some decisions and go forward in our relationship with the Lord. And so that's what we want to do today and in next week's message, is really learn how we can be generous, make a difference, but also really calling our attention to some areas within our life that need focused on, and I think sometimes some areas that we tend to easily forget. So we're in the Thanksgiving season. Come on, how many already put up your Christmas tree decorations? Let me see your hand. A few of you. No shame in your game, man. Put it up. Yeah, I'm getting ready to put mine up before Thanksgiving, so I'll wave mine, all right? And how many going to put them up this week? Oh, look at all the hands. See, oh, come on now. That's what I'm talking about. How many have already started Christmas shopping? Wow, you guys are impressive. I'm a last-minute guy, man. I mean, to a fault on that, because Because there ain't nothing worse than going out on Christmas Eve and trying to get some shopping done, and that tends to be me. And so nothing more frustrating. But so kudos to all you guys. But, you know, I was thinking this week, what really is the perfect gift? What is the gift that kind of really just keeps on giving, and even just the gift that when you're thinking about getting something for someone, I think it's one that reflects your personality, and I also think it's one that helps to meet the need of a person that you're giving it to, and I believe that's exactly what God did by sending his son Jesus. How many know Jesus is the gift that keeps on giving? And Jesus is the one who, I'm telling you, the greatest gift all of humanity received was the price and that Jesus Christ had paid on the cross for over 2,000 years ago. But we celebrate Christmas because of the birth of our Savior. And I just encourage us, let us thank God around the Thanksgiving table this week for what he's done in our life. Let us thank God for the blessings that we have. And I think it's easy to always focus so much on what we don't have or what we need to do. But I think we need to get more focused on what we do have and what God is doing. And so let us just kind of shift our focus this year, and let us remember Jesus is not only the reason for the season, but he's the purpose of life. He's the purpose of living. And so in your families, make sure that you're taking opportunity and really even talking about that. But I believe this, when you look at generosity, Jesus modeled generosity more than anybody else, and he's our greatest example. And I believe generosity ultimately over time leaves a legacy of changed lives. I don't know about you, but how many desire to leave a legacy of changed lives? And when you look back, you can see how God used you to impact the lives of people. Amen, everybody? No matter where your serving was at, because it doesn't matter where you're at. That's why every task is important. That everything you do, from picking up trash on the ground or cleaning a bathroom or just serving coffee or opening a door for someone, guess what, is making an impact on the life of somebody. Amen, everybody? And so I want to give you just a couple quick things before we start, because if you don't get this, it's going to be kind of a struggle to understand the rest of my message here today for you. So there's two things I want to give you that's not in your notes that I want you just to remember as we're working through this message today. Two ingredients that I believe that are really necessary to see that your days that you're living are incredible, are amazing. And the first one is decisions, and the second is disciplines. All right, so that's how I want us to kind of approach this message today, because we make the decision once and then we manage those decisions with disciplines in our life. So my prayer is simply this, it's that generosity is something that's not an event. Not just a once a time or we do this every once in a while, but generosity becomes a way of life for you and me. That we understand this, that it becomes a lifestyle of who we are. So if we're going to make the decision, jot this first one down here this morning. We've got to do this. Is first of all, put the value of things into perspective. Put the value of things into perspective. I love Billy Graham. He made an incredible statement. Billy Graham is one of my favorite preachers. He just turned 97 the other week, by the way, and man, living strong for Jesus, 97 years old, my goodness. He said this statement. He said, if a person gets his attitude towards money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area of his life. You have to, first of all, see everything that you have, and I mean everything, from the clothes that you're wearing right now, all right, to your home that you live in, everything that you have, you must see as a gift from God. See as a blessing from the Lord. God has called us to not be owners, but we're called to be stewards, good stewards of everything that he's given us. You could really liken a steward into a good manager. It's the owner who makes the decisions, and we're called as managers or stewards to maintain and to produce and to grow. And so we must see everything that we have in our life, not as ours, but as a blessing and as a gift from the Lord. Can you say a good amen today? And so you have to see it that way. Jesus said this in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. And here's why I'm touching this morning, and there's no gimmick, there's nothing with this today. This is not something, we're not trying to get anything from you today, just trying to get something to you. I just think that sometimes our culture paints this wrong view and perspective when it comes to money. And so I think we need to have a right heart and a right approach to this. And Jesus goes on to say, for you will hate one and love the other, you will be devoted to one and despise the other, but you cannot serve both God and money. I think it's so interesting that Jesus draws out the two, God and money. I think it's interesting because how many believe faith is important? Wave your hand. How many think faith is important? How many say prayer is important? It's interesting because in your Bibles, there's at least 500 verses about prayer and 500 verses about faith, but over 2,000 verses in your Bibles about money and possessions. And so there's a reason why Jesus himself is pointing out the two. Because it's easy. It's easy to get focused, I think, a lot of times on the struggle or what you don't have. And I'm telling you, the number one thing that's competing for your heart is money. And it tends to be that way. And Jesus is saying, hey, you can't serve both God and money. And I think this, and I believe this with everything within me, if we're going to trust God with our eternity, we ought to be able to trust God with our checkbook. Amen, everybody. You know, one of the things I'm so thankful for that my mom instilled in me at a very early age was, man, I was working Rozzy's Catering as a 13-year-old kid that didn't know nothing. I just served some food and enjoyed it, and I got my first check, and it was my mom who said, what are you going to do with that first part of that check? I said, I ain't got a clue. What? She said, you're going to give God what's his. And that's what tithing is. Tithing is just 10%. Tithing is 10%, and it's giving God back. It's returning to God what's his. And so we have to realize it's a principle that God has made for all of us, and he desires for all of us to do. And really 10, that number 10, when you understand it and read it and study about it, it's symbolic as a test. It's a test. And it's one of the only areas when you look in your Bibles in Malachi 3 that God says, this is the area that you can test me with. Only place in Scripture that God says, I want you to test me and see if I won't prove my faithfulness in this area of your life. And so we have to understand God's motivation to give and want to bless, and that this is a principle. It's not about money. It's not even about the amount. It's about the heart. Everybody say the heart. That's what God is after, is your heart. And it's one of the greatest ways that we show where God ranks at in our lives. Matthew 6:33, I love this, because in every choice, everybody, every decision that you ever make, it's something I've said before that I really believe and that we really have to adopt, that we make sure we filter decisions and choices, first of all, through the Word. And I love how Jesus said it this way, seek first, everybody say first. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you, as well. When you put God first, everything else in your life, I'm telling you, God takes care of. And it's when you receive the paycheck, kind of like what I was talking about when I was at Rozzy's Catering in Kokomo, all right, is taking whatever I received, I give God what's his. That's what a tithe, an offering is, just anything else above that that you would feel led to give. And the interesting thing is I've never met an ex-tither in my life. I just haven't. And because those that understand its principle understand God's power and blessing in ways beyond you could ever ask or think. And so and you experience the blessings of the Lord. And Jesus had an opportunity with some of the most religious ones of his day to just abolish this whole thing called tithe. He just had the opportunity with the Pharisees. And what we need to understand, and there's been an argument for so many years, and it's tiresome because we just have to understand Scripture enough. And that is, well, tithe is under the law. And so now we're under a time of grace. All right. Well, first of all, we are under a time of grace. Thank you, Jesus. I'm thankful for grace. All right. But we have to understand tithe is actually something that predated the law. It came into effect before the law was ever instituted. If you read back in your Bible in Genesis, there was the story of Abram and King Melchizedek, and the principle began then. And then it was put into the law. And yeah, we're under a time of grace, but that's like saying, you know, and stealing would be okay because it was just under the law. So we can steal now. And that would be a wrong understanding. I mean, you understand what I'm saying here today? And so we have to understand what God's word is telling us. And that would be like saying murdering people would be okay because, well, that was under law, which we know that's not okay, all right? And so it's, again, having a right understanding. So here Jesus says, he's talking to him. He says, so what sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? And he calls them out. He says, you hypocrites. He said, for you are careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. And here's this opportunity right here. He could abolish it, end it all, but he says, you should tithe. yes, but do not neglect the more important things. Don't neglect love. Don't neglect mercy. Don't neglect justice. We got to stay focused on these things as well. And that's why we have to see tithing is not a financial transaction between you and your church. It's a transaction between, and it's worship. It's seen as worship, not as a transaction. It's worship between you and your God. That's why at the end of every service, and by the way, we don't ever pressure anybody to give. We just encourage people to ask God what he would have them to give. And when you have that heart and you have that receptivity and you're open to it, you understand its principle. And a lot of people get frustrated with God and say, well, God's not blessing me and I'm not seeing this move in my life and this happened, da-da-da-da-da. But you can't expect God to bless you if you're not willing to receive and do things his way. How many know God is smarter than me and you? How many know his systems and his word always works and always prevails? It is proven. That's why the Bible's still the number one bestseller in all the world. It's proven, everybody. And so I'm just encouraging you today to find yourself and don't treat something holy as common, because that's what we do sometimes with finances as we do. God desires to bless you and he desires to provide for your life. And let me just say this, and this is tweetable if you want to tweet this, all right, or just write this down today. All right. But listen to me. It doesn't take faith to give God what's left. It takes faith to put God first. I'm gonna say that one more time. It doesn't take faith to give God whatever's left. It takes faith to put God first. Amen. And so we have a culture that's just in this place of just focus on stuff. And of course, you're going to see that even more than ever. I mean, we got credit card commercials that just invite you into a prison of debt. I mean, we just have all this stuff and materialism and possessions. And I don't think it's really about the possessions as it is the obsessions with things. And that's why God doesn't care if you have stuff, as long as your stuff don't have a hold of you. And he said this in Luke 12, he said to watch out. This is what he's saying, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Well said, Jesus. Here's the next one, jot this down. Keep your focus on eternity. You want to be a generous person, you got to realize that you're living your life to please God and to serve people. You are called to make an impact on people. And whatever that looks like for you, that's why the gifts and the diversity of giftings is so powerful, because each of you have and each of you are a 10 in something. And God wants to use you to impact the lives of people. And we must realize we're not living for this earth. This earth is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. Amen, everybody? Matthew 6 says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Here's the next one. Jot this down. Again, you're making decisions. Look for opportunities to give. How about you could buy someone a coffee? You know, it was really cool the other day. I was going through Starbucks, and I don't have this happen to me a lot, so it was really cool when it happened to me. But the other week, and I was driving, and somebody had paid for my coffee. Oh, amen. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I've received the blessing. Amen. You know? And so I said, well, I'm going to pay the person behind me. You know what I mean? And so it was something. Maybe it's a lunch for somebody. Maybe it's writing a thank you card for somebody. Maybe it's helping the elderly with their groceries at the grocery store. I don't know if you've ever done that. It's fun. And I tell you, they appreciate it so much. And so elderly are very, very close to my heart. And how about this? I'm going to triple dog dairy on this one. How about adjust your heart and your attitude? Listen to me, everybody, to always assume the best about people. Come on, even when you're at the restaurant and your waiter or your waitress has got an attitude the size of Texas, you know what I'm talking about? Like just struggling, you know? But instead of assuming the worst, how about assuming the best and figuring out a way, how can we be a blessing? Man, how can we serve? How can we lighten the load today? Because here's the truth. We don't know what people are going through. We don't know what happened even the table before us, let alone what's going on in their life. And so may we carry that heart, Elevate City. May we have the heart, the church, that we assume the best about people and not the worst. Let us build a culture of celebration that celebrates people and sees people lifted up in Jesus' name. Can you say a good amen today? giving, here's, I'm going to give you just a couple little just nuggets, I guess we'll call it, right under this, is that first of all, giving, here's what it does. It turns your focus outward when you become a life of a giver. Because no one likes to be around people that just think about themselves all the time. It's like asking the person, can you give me a ride here? It's 10 minutes away. And then after they drop you off, they ask you $5 for gas. I mean, nobody wants to do, I'll never ask for a ride again in the rest of my life from you. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to hang around with selfish people. Selfish people tend to be very dreadful people to do life with. That's why I believe when you find yourself living for others, you really experience life yourself. You experience the joy of the journey. Here's what else giving does. It adds value to others. And this is so good. Again, because there's nothing like, and it's just fulfilling, everybody. That's what Sunday mornings are for us in this dream team. It's fulfilling to live out the call of God. And it's fun. We enjoy it. We're here not because we have to be. We're here because we want to be. And we love seeing people make decisions for Jesus. We love seeing relationships and people connect with God and with others. And I believe the greater you're giving, the greater you're living. I think you'll experience that in your life. And here's a great example of what I'm talking about. One of our own here at Elevate, after church Sunday, he heard about the series we were going to start today, and he gave me permission. Norris, where you at, Norris? Was he in here? There he is. He's way back there. Awesome. And Norris gave me this story and just touched my heart. And he was at the Cozy Nook Cafe, come on, right off DuPont Road. And he felt one morning some weeks ago to pay for somebody's breakfast. And so he did and left, and he had one of the random acts of kindness cards that we always provide. I'll tell you more about that in a few minutes outside at the hub. But he paid for it, and not thinking anything, just went about his day. And a couple weeks later, he comes back, and you know, the manager basically looks at him and says, "We've been waiting for you to come back to tell you what happened." And of course, he's like, "What do you mean what happened?" They said, when you were here a few weeks ago, do you remember paying for that person's breakfast?" And he said, "Well, yeah." They said, "What you realize is what you don't realize is what happened the rest of the day." He said, "Well, what do you mean? They said, "You began that at morning, and it literally went on until the closing of our restaurant." Think about that. Giving adds value to others. It adds value to people. And just by that one act of generosity, man, had a ripple effect. And I guarantee you, not only were the people blessed that received it, but the staff was obviously very well ministered to by it. And so we give God praise for that and thanks for that. And it's awesome. Yeah, great story. Proud of you. Proud of you. And here's the other thing giving does is it helps the giver. Brings life to the giver, strength to the giver. Psalm 112:5, it says, "Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely." Proverbs 11:25 declares, "A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes," I love this verse, "others will himself be refreshed." And that's part of our hope here at Elevate City, that we can just help lighten the load, that we can just help be a blessing and model generosity. And that's our heart as a church, is that we want to be a good example of generosity. You know, when Beth and I, when we were dreaming about what this church could become, one of the things that we've always dreamed is that we would always be a church of generosity, that we would reach our families, that we would reach our city, that we would reach our nation, and that we would affect the global world for Jesus. And so we're hoping to continue to grow in that. And we like to do some fun too, every once in a while, sometimes during services, sometimes after Sundays and outreaches and cool stuff that we have that happens all the time. But I thought today would be a great time to do one right here in this service. So come on.
Of a different soul. I left my past so my future would be under control. Now I got nothing standing in my way. I gave it all away. I gave it all away. Whoa.
Oh, we have fun. Come on, gourmet popcorn for everyone. You can fight over which kind you want later, all right? So we just want to bless you and just, man, we just appreciate you guys so very much. But something we try to model, something that we want to be a blessing with right here in our church. It's why we give free Starbucks away and gift cards to our guests and just to bless and be a generous church. It's why we give to the homeless. It's why we have our small groups and outreach groups that are meeting every week across the city, not just in their homes, but those that are out in the streets ministering. And as a result, we're seeing God bless our church and bless your life. Amen, everybody? I love what Jesus, he said it best. He said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So decisions help us start. Discipline helps us finish. And remember, you cannot manage a decision that you've never made. For some of us, I'm just believing that you're going to catch this. I believe generosity is contagious. And I'm believing for us to catch this. And let us be a great example for our city in Jesus' name. So here we go. I want to give us a couple practical things on how we can manage those disciplines. Number one is just this. Jot this down. Start with what you have. Start with what you have. It's not an income issue. It's a heart issue. And God is after your heart. And if we constantly are looking for loopholes and things in scriptures, then God doesn't have all of our heart. Because either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And we need to submit and give God our everything. Because I'm telling you, he can own and manage your life better than you can. So we've got to submit and surrender everything that we are and everything that may be in our possession and realize it's from God. The reason why you're breathing and sitting here today, it's because of God, everybody. The reason why you're not under a bridge today is because of God, everybody. And that's why we're reaching those who are struggling, because we're believing for the hope of Jesus to be invested in their life and see their lives change for his glory. But start with what you have. You can just show up and serve. So we have our serve days. You can get connected that way. You can get connected in our small group. You know, our one homeless small group is actually meeting this Wednesday night. And so if you want more information, you want to be a part of that, take your family. It's awesome. Let us know on your connection card, and we'll follow up with you this week. For some of us, and I was thinking about this week. For some of us, something small that we can just do to make an impact, I thought raking leaves until it snowed yesterday. So shoveling somebody's drive, glory to God. You know, maybe it's shoveling some snow for somebody, making a difference, and maybe it is making that waiter or waitress their day. Or how about just look within our church and find the needs and find the area that you need to be on the team and serving. And I just got a question. If you're not serving on the dream team, I'm going to ask you, why not? What are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? I'm telling you, we're having the time of our lives. We have one huge party a year or two, by the way. We just started talking and planning for that. But you can only be at the party if you're on the dream team. But we're better with you on the team. And for some of us, it's time to get in the game. It's time to come from the grandstands, from cheering everybody on. It's time to start doing what God has called you to do in Jesus' name and start making a difference with your life as well. Because there's more in you than what you know. More in you than what you even realize. And what's cool about God is when you start serving, it's amazing the things that God begins to bring out of you that you didn't know. You know, the other great thing about serving and being a blessing is that you experience personal healing in your life. I have found that serving other people has always brought healing and strength to my life. And I thank God for it. Matthew 25:21, his master replied, "Well done and good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, but I will put you in charge of many things." Come on, let's be a people that are being found being faithful with the little things, everybody, so that God can entrust us with more. Number two is expect God's blessings in your life. As you're making decisions and applying disciplines in your life, you can expect God to do some crazy awesome things in your life. God is looking for people who love to give. He's looking for people that are generous and want to be a blessing. And I would even say this, that the blessings that you experience are just a byproduct, because seeing the lives changed is the win. That's the celebration. 2 Corinthians 9, it says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." Number three is don't be legalistic with it. Don't be legalistic like the Pharisees and the religious ones in Jesus' day was. They were constantly measuring their religion. They were constantly in a place that they were doing that. You can't keep score with God. That's why this has got to get in your heart, not in your head. We've got to understand that God, that generosity is a heart thing. Everybody say it's a heart thing. It's a heart thing. And that's what God's wanting to do, is grab a hold of your heart. We have to, I believe, view generosity as a privilege, not an obligation. That it's fun to give. Trust me, that was fun. That was fun. That was awesome. It's cool that we can do that stuff. Because of your faithfulness, you paid for it. So we get to do stuff like that. Come on. Amen, everybody? I'm serious when I say that. We get to go change the world. Yeah, we get to help start new churches because of your faithfulness. A portion of everything you give is making an impact. As you're generous, lives are literally being changed. Think about it. It's awesome. I just love what God's doing. 2 Corinthians 9 says, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful, there it is, giver. Good job, church. Number 4, make yourself more valuable. This is a good one. So, man, how can I do that, Kyle? What can I do? Here's how you can do that, is get as close to Jesus as you can. Get as close to Jesus as you can. Make the decision that I'm not just going to know about him on Sundays, but I'm going to live for him and know him through the week. That Jesus is my life, and I give him everything. And so you make the decision that I'm going to grow in character. You make the decision I'm going to grow in maturity. I'm going to do whatever it takes to grow and be who God wants me to be, not who I want to be. Because if it's who I want to be, it's going to mess me up. It's going to mess the other people around me up. And I don't have time for that. But when you live for God, you live for his will, not yours. So we got to live for God's will. That's how you become more valuable. Because ultimately, this is what it comes down to. I cannot give. I cannot be a blessing. I cannot give what I don't possess. And so if I want to grow in love, if I want to grow in grace and grow and release that to other people, I've got to get closer to Jesus. Can somebody say a good amen? Grow closer to Jesus. That's why I love what David said back in 1 Chronicles 21, 24. He made this statement so powerful. He said, I will not give what doesn't cost me something. You know what's powerful about that statement? Is he realized that when I give, more of me dies. When I give and serve selflessly, there's a part of me that dies, and God continues to do his work inside my life. Acts 3, 6 and 7, just have these verses. I'll tell a little bit of this story, powerful story. Peter and John, and here they are on the scene, and there's a lame man who was lame from birth. He would lay at the gates of the city begging for money. And he sees these guys coming, these disciples of Jesus, and he thought, man, they're going to hook me up. They're going to bless me. They're going to take care of me. And little did he know how much God was getting ready to take care of him. Peter comes on the scene. He says, silver or gold, I don't have. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up. He was able to be valuable and be able to be used. Why? Because he made a decision to grow close to Jesus. And God used him in a place of desperation for a man who had never walked in his life until that moment. Think about that kind of power that works in each and every one of you. That God wants to use you to see some lame walk in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody. Are you here today? Number 5 here is this, closing up. Remember the little things. Some of the small acts of kindness make the greatest impact in the lives of people. It's just true. At the Hub on your way out, we have our random acts of kindness card on the front. It says something extra to show you that God loves you. We actually got this idea from our covering church, Church of the Highlands in Birmingham, Alabama. And I want to encourage you, let's be a blessing. Find a way. Go grab. We ordered thousands because my challenge is for every one of you to go grab some. Some of you, just go grab a handful. Trust me, we're good. And go grab some and find a way over the next few weeks and even through the month. But we have them out there all the time because we want to model that. And we want our city to know how much Jesus loves them. And so little acts of kindness can make a big difference. And I remember my office for a season, for the first year, really, of the church. I didn't have an office, so my office was Starbucks, you guessed it. And was there all through the week, and I would try to find ways to want to be a blessing because I might as well had worked there. You know, I should have put on an apron. They should have gave me one. They didn't. I know they didn't trust me with that, and you don't want me making your coffee anyway. So, and I remember just one day just thinking, man, I just want to be a blessing. And so I thought, man, what can I do just to impact the entire staff? And I thought, man, I'm going to go to Little Caesars. Come on, $5.99, large one-topping pizza. I'm going to go buy two of them. Amen. And so I went and bought two, one topping, one pepperoni, and I think one sausage. And I came back into Starbucks, and I said, told the manager, I knew him. I said, hey, bro, I said, want to bless y'all for lunch today. Here you go. And gave it to him. The staff just like, oh, my gosh. And I know most of them by name, and a lot of them have moved on now, but built great relationships with them. Some of them have been here and visited us in our church. But ways that you can be a blessing. There's a great story Pastor Chris Hodges told from Church of the Highlands. There was a woman that was going to Schlotsky's Deli one day, and she went through the drive-thru, came up to the drive-thru window when the lady said, ma'am, your lunch has been taken care of today. The person in front of you took care of that. And then they asked me to give you one of these. And she looked at the front of the card, she said, and all she could focus on was the part that God loves you. And she began to cry right there in the drive-thru line at Schlotsky's in Birmingham. And then she went home that day. She made some decisions. She wrote in to Church of the Highlands and began to tell them about what happened. She said, first of all, I just want to thank whoever it was in your church that paid for my lunch today. Little did they know what was happening in my life. She said, that lunch was going to be my last meal because I was headed home to commit suicide. But she said, I cried and I wept. She said, because when I got home, the only thing I kept hearing in my heart and my spirit was God loves me. God loves me. She said, that little card, I just held on to it because it just kept ringing, God loves me. And she said, I realized I'm not dying today because God loves me and I have a future. And this is not the day I'm throwing in the towel. I'm going to live. And gave her heart to Christ as a part of the Highlands family. I love how God can use a simple act to change a life. Matthew 10:42, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Last one is this. When you give to the Lord, that in everything that you do, you realize and will understand that you do it unto the Lord. You know, when we face God, there'll be two things we'll be judged on. First will be what we did with our life. What are you doing with your life for the sake of eternity? And the second question is, what did you do with my son Jesus? I pray that we're all found faithful to make an impact in our sphere. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. You got to realize this morning that your generosity really does have the power to break down the walls, to soften hardened hearts, to open closed doors, and even restore broken relationships. I'm just telling you, by a simple act, God can use you to change a life. So I challenge you, Elevate City, I challenge you guys to grab these on the way out today and let God just lead you. Pray and ask God for opportunities to be a blessing. And it may come in different ways, and be open to whatever God wants to do and however he wants to use you. Come on, will you bow your head where you're at? I want to pray. God, I thank you so much. God, that this message of generosity, God, will be who we are, not something we just do. That it becomes a way of life, a lifestyle for us. And so, Father, today I speak, God, that you use this to stir up passion and fire within us to serve and reach people in our city. And so, Lord, we give you thanks today, and we ask you for it. Now, if you're here this morning, and you're in a place that maybe you don't know him personally yet, but I want to give you an invitation to know him. Maybe you're in a place that today you recognize that God is not Lord of everything, but you know today and you want to make the decision and declare that he is going to be Lord of everything in your life. He wants your heart. Remember, this is about your heart. He wants a personal relationship with you. And he wants to know you. Will you give him a chance today? Will you give him an opportunity and respond to him today? All over this place with every head bowed and eye closed just for this moment. the count of three, I'm going to ask you, if that's you, to slip up your hand right where you're at. Then you can put it back down. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up. I ask you to come down. I'm not going to ask anybody to come down to the front. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. But this is a moment for some of you that you're getting ready to make the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And I'm telling you, God wants to meet you right where you're at. He loves you. He's for you. If that's you, one, two, three, all over this place. Come on, hands high, hands high. Come on, there it is. Thank you, ma'am, so much. Thank you, ma'am, in the back. Proud of you. Thank you, ma'am. Saw it. Anybody else that says, that's me? Awesome. Thank you, sir. Awesome. Proud of you, ma'am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Come on, we're all going to say this prayer together. Come on, mean it with everything within you today. Say this. Say, Jesus, your love is amazing. Thank you for loving me the way that you do. I give you my life today. Come on, elevate. I give you my life today. Forgive me of my sins and my past. I am brand new today. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's really put our hands together. Come on, for what God has done today, everybody. Come on, we bless you.